From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice for me, Amanda, to accompany you for the next 60 minutes in our program. We have some segments such as news, commentary, and of course, Indonesian songs. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo scheduled to launch the B30 implementation. Indonesian Minister of Communication and Information Technology, Johnny Plate, says RRI must preserve the spirit of Triprasetya. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo launched the 30% biodiesel B30 implementation in Jakarta on Monday, December 23. A number of preparations have been carried out at the Pertamina gas station 31-128-02 at MT Haryono Street in South Jakarta. Besides President Joko Widodo, Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Arifin Tasrif, State-Owned Enterprises Minister Erick Thohir, President Director of Pertamina Nike Widiyati, and Commissioner of Pertamina Basuki Cahayapurnama or AHOK also attend the launching of the program. Previously, the President proposed a number of programs in a bid to anticipate the deficit of trade balance in 2017-2018. The programs were proposed again in the beginning of President Jokowi's new cabinet, one of which is to increase the 30% biodiesel or B30 to 50% biodiesel or B50. The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, also passed Decree of the Energy and Mineral Resources Minister number 227K/10/MEM/2019 about the trial of the B30 implementation, which was signed on November 15, 2019 by Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Arifin Tasrif. Public Broadcasting Institution Radio Republik Indonesia LPPRRI launched the National Integrated Newsroom on the 7th floor of the RRI building in Central Jakarta on Monday, December 23. Indonesian Minister of Communication and Information Technology, who also took part in the launching of the newsroom, Johnny Plate, remarked that as a public broadcasting institution, RRI must be able to maintain the spirit of Triprasetya, namely the three commitments of RRI to providing quality broadcast. Minister Johnny Plate affirmed that human resource development is a key to implement the spirit of Triprasetya, which is also one of the priorities of President Joko Widodo's second administration. I hope that RRI can maintain the spirit of Triprasetya in providing appropriate broadcasts for public. Triprasetya can be implemented not only by upgrading the broadcasting facilities and infrastructures to support the broadcast, but also by enhancing the quality of human resources. The development of human resources is also in line with one of the priorities of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Ma'ruf Amin's second administration. In addition, Minister Johnny Plate affirmed that RRI must be the frontliner to disseminate the ideology of Indonesia, namely Pancasila, as well as the state constitution. present in the launching of the newsroom, where Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Culture and Human Development, Muhajir Effendi, and member of Commission 6 at the House of Representatives, Herman Khairon. The Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry called on every region in Indonesia to improve its capacity in managing the environment in a bid to prevent environmental destruction. It was said by head of the Research and Development Agency at the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Agus Justianto, in Jakarta on Monday, December 23. Agus pointed out that environmental management, which comprises observation and supervision, must also be supported by appropriate facilities and infrastructures, as well as competent human resources. He stated that optimization of human resources needs to be conducted given the huge threats of environmental destruction resulted by human activities. Therefore, by enhancing the quality of destruction can be conducted, and this also contributes to supporting the environmental management. The Indonesian Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries and the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, will collaborate to produce high-quality fish feed, especially for the patin or catfish commodity. The project is called Supporting Local Feed Self-Sufficiency for Inland Aquaculture in Indonesia. It was stated by Director General of Aquaculture at the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Slamet Subiakto, based on the press release received by Antara in Jakarta on Monday, December 23. The collaboration aims to improve the production of high-quality and affordable fish feed in South Sumatra. Slamet perceived that FAO has substantial role in developing Indonesia's aquaculture, given the huge contribution of Indonesia for the world's aquaculture industry. Slamet took, for example, the self-sufficiency feed project in Palembang, which aims to produce high-quality and affordable fish feed. In addition, he explained that the self-sufficiency fish feed program, or GERPARI, helps improving the welfare of local people. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The government of Belitung Regency, Bangka Belitung Islands Province, prepares as many as 80 tourism events in 2020 in a bid to promote the tourism potentials of the region. In a bid to promote the tourism potentials of the region and attract more tourists, it was remarked by Deputy Regent of Belitung, Ishak Mayrobi, after launching calendar of event 2020 in Tanjung Pandan on Sunday, December 22. Ishak said that tourism events are featured digitally so that the information can be disseminated massively to tourists. Ishak explained that tourists not only can enjoy the beauty of tourism destinations in Bangka, but also experience various tourism activities, which is also known as the experience tourism. There are various activities that tourists can join in a bid to gain more insight about the culture of the Belitung people, such as learning how to make batik, cooking traditional foods of Belitung, making pottery and ceramic, and etc. Generally, foreign tourists are keen on these activities. Ishak hoped that the events would increase the number of tourist arrivals to Belitung Regency. A number of regions across Indonesia won Trisakti Tourism Award 2019, one of which is Raja Ampat Regency in West Papua that won the Marine Tourism category. Initiator of the Trisakti Tourism Award, Wiryanti Sukamdani in Jakarta on Sunday night, explained that the awards aims to support the advancement of Indonesian tourism sector. She expounded that Indonesia is precious heritage that must be preserved and maintained properly. She asserted that Indonesia should focus not only on managing natural resources, but also on developing the country's tourism, because tourism also plays an integral role to boost the national economy. Wiryanti hoped that the Trisakti Tourism Award 2019 could encourage regional leaders to develop the tourism potentials of their regions and establish tourism destinations in their regions. Wiryanti is optimistic that tourism can alleviate poverty, improve the welfare of the society, advance traditional culture, and preserve the environment. The last item, Batik Air has launched a new international route between Soekarno-Hatta International Airport and Thailand's Don Mueang International Airport. Batik Air CEO Captain Ahmad Lutfi said the new route connecting Jakarta and Bangkok is a business expansion that shows the airline's commitment to providing the best service to guests. He pointed out that through the opening of the new route, tourists are able to have better access to travel to Southeast Asian countries. In addition, as quoted by Tempo, Ahmad Lutfi said in a press release received on Sunday, December 22, that Batik Air is optimistic tourism can stimulate the growth of national economy and boost the foreign tourist arrivals to Indonesia. Furthermore, the CEO also explained that Batik Air will expand its service networks based on their market analysis, including market demand and potential routes, in an effort to accommodate passengers' air travel needs according to business strategies. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Supervised Report of Corruption Eradication Commission. Well, listener, President Joko Widodo officially inaugurated 5 members of the Supervised Report of Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, for 2019-2023 period at the State Palace in Jakarta on Friday afternoon. Member of House of Representatives Commission 3, Arsul Sani, believes that the composition of the members of the KPK supervisory board can answer the public doubts. He feels that in addition to the integrity, the 5 members are not affiliated with certain political powers. Arsul also said that the composition of the board would be a strong balancer for the current KPK leadership. Both are expected to be synergizing immediately to carry out corruption eradication work. However, this view is contrary to the anti-corruption activist Indonesian Corruption Watch, which said that the existence of the supervisory board is a form of government intervention against the anti-corruption institutions. The Indonesian Corruption Watch researcher Kurnia Ramadana emphasized that theoretically, the KPK is included in the cluster of independent state institutions that is not familiar with the concept of the supervisory board. He perceived that the existence of the supervisory board is excessive because the pro-justice actions carried out by the KPK must first ask for the board's permission. While at the same time, the authority of the KPK leadership as investigators or prosecutor is actually limited through the new KPK law. People can, of course, express their opinions. The Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, has the duty to eradicate corruption in this country. Based on the announcement of the Transparency International early this year, Indonesian Corruption Perception Index was recorded 38th or ranked 89th in the world, still far from the neighboring country Malaysia, which ranked 61st, let alone from Singapore, which ranked 3rd in the world. The presence of the supervisory board of the Corruption Eradication Commission is expected to be able to help eradicate corruption instead of hampering it, as some people have worried about. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Hello, listener. Nice to see you again in our good program, Today in History. Well, begin today in history with information about the birth of Japanese former Emperor Akihito on December 23, 1933. Akihito was born on December 23, 1933. He was the 125th Emperor of Japan. The former emperor ascended to the throne in 1989 in a bid to supersede his father Hirohito, who passed away. Akihito is the fifth child of seven siblings. He is also the first son in his family. During his leadership, former Emperor Akihito managed to strengthen the relations between the royal family and the Japanese people. He had visited 18 countries and 47 prefectures across Japan throughout his reign. Akihito's administration was called the era of Heisei. The Japanese government announced in 2017 that Akihito's abdication would be on April 30, 2019. Well, listener, the next information is about the success of the first kidney transplant on December 23, 1954. On December 23, 1954, an American surgeon named Joseph Edward Murray succeeded in conducting the first kidney transplant on identical twins named Richard and Ronald Herrick at the Peter Band Birmingham Hospital. Murray transplanted healthy kidney, which was donated by Ronald Herrick, for his twin brother Richard, who suffered from critical nephritis or inflammation of kidney. After the transplant, Richard could survive for 8 years. Well, listener, we end today in history with information December 23, 2016, about the adoption of the UN Resolution number 2334. The Resolution 2334 of the United Nations Security Council was adopted on December 23, 2016. The resolution urged Israeli settlement in the territory of Palestine to be abolished. The Israeli settlement was built on the Palestinian territory where Israel snatched from the Palestinian people in the Six-Day War, which broke out in 1967. The resolution declared that in accordance with the international law, the Israeli settlement is considered illegal. The UN Resolution 2334 was the first resolution issued by the UN Security Council concerning the issue of Israel settlement. Well, listener, that was Student History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Semudah itu kau tulis kembali kisah cinta yang berakhir luka. Hadirmu tak mungkin ku sambut lagi karena ada dia di hatimu. Dulu kau yang pergi meninggalkanku, kini kau kembali tawarkan berjuta mimpi. Pergilah, cintamu bukan untuk padanya. Tak perlu lagi kau ungkit cerita, biar berakhir di sini. Ku relakan kamu dengan dirinya, dengan dirinya. Hadirmu tak mungkin ku sambut lagi karena ada dia di hatimu. Dulu kau yang pergi meninggalkanku, kini kau kembali.
That was a song titled Bukan Untukku or Not For Me by Hanindia. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, let's listen to our program, My Indonesia. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. It's glad to see you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The title of today's My Indonesia is Increasing the Competitiveness of SMS Products to Penetrate Export Market. Indonesian President Joko Widodo opened the Brilliant Entrepreneur 2019 UMKM Export Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises Exhibition at the Stein Convention Center in Jakarta on Friday. The exhibition, initiated by Bank BRI, presented a number of superior products from 155 micro, small and medium enterprises, MSMEs, fostered by BRI, which is already exported or are already to export. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo said that the MSMEs are optimistic to increase their contribution to the country that is currently still at 14%. He reminded them to increase their competitiveness so that the products can penetrate export markets. Penetrating global markets with increased competitiveness can be in terms of price, packaging, and quality. But he also reminded that Indonesia cannot close itself from import. Therefore, he advised entrepreneurs not to forget about the huge domestic market. The MSMEs must also pay attention to the domestic market, unless imported products will dominate the domestic market. After inspecting the MSMEs products on display on the event, President Joko Widodo said that he was pleased to see the good quality of materials used, the packaging and designs. The problem is now how to increase capacity to be able to export not only good quality but also quantity. Meanwhile, President Director of Bank Rakyat Indonesia BRI, Sunarso, said the exhibition was held as one of the bank's commitments in developing and empowering the MSMEs. He mentioned that BRI's credit for the MSMEs sector reached 701 trillion rupiah from the total credit amounting to 903 trillion rupiah. Sunarso also said that BRI tries not only to encourage the MSMEs to improve but also to penetrate the global market. He emphasized that the 2019 Brilliant Entrepreneur Export UMKM was held with the main objective of bringing together the MSMEs entrepreneurs with potential buyers from abroad, as well as to boosting the capacity and quality of the MSMEs entrepreneurs for export-oriented purposes. There were 155 MSMEs created by BRI and members of state-owned company credit houses, and there are 74 potential foreign buyers. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You've just listened to a song titled Demi Hati or For the Sake of Heart by Yovi and Nuno. For the next segment, we are going to present you our program about Indonesian culture and tourism, Indonesian Wonder. Stay tuned. Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I introduce you Gredoan tradition from East Java. Stay tuned. Listener, the people of East Java, particularly the people of Osing tribe at Macan Putih village Banyuwangi Regency, have unique tradition to find their partners. Bachelors who want to express their feelings to the woman they love must come to their houses to flirt and to express their feelings to the woman. The tradition is known in local language as gerdoan, which means the act of flirting. Gerdoan tradition is held once in a year. In addition to finding partners, the gerdoan tradition is also aimed at commemorating the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or better known as the Maulid of Prophet Muhammad. Listener, the tradition begins in the morning, where people hold a kind of festival at mosque. Afterwards, at night, people usually help their parents cook in the kitchen. This is when the gerdoan tradition starts. A man who is attracted to a particular woman will come to her house to express his feelings to the woman. The man will put a stick made from bamboo, known as lidi, to a gap at the girl's house. If the girl agrees to get to know the man further, she will break the stick. Afterwards, the man and the woman will get to know each other further. The man will flirt with the woman. However, they cannot see each other. They can chat, but they must be separated by a wall made from bamboo. The woman is inside her house, but the man is outside the house. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder about gerdoan tradition from East Java. Thank you for listening.
Dan juga malam, dari malam aku bernafas lalu mengingat semua tentangmu. Saat berdua hatiku pun tergetar, saat kau senyum hatiku pun berdebar. Ternyata bukan milikku. Berulang kali kau titip salam untuknya, ku tak rela untuk menyampaikannya. Tahukah kamu, tahukah dirimu, betapa diriku menginginkan dirimu. Pedih hatiku saat ku sadari cintamu yang cinta pada dia. Berharap kau segera melupakannya, berharap kau tak lagi suka padanya. Tuhan tolong ubah hatinya. Berulang kali kau titip salam. Cintamu yang
That was a song titled Hancur Aku or I'm Broken by Niji featuring Dea. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, let's listen to our program Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia about Indonesian language lesson.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language and Book Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Cultural Parrot or Parade Budaya. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Parade Budaya or Cultural Parrot. Tony is on vacation at the area of Borobudur Temple. He is talking with a tour guide.
Kemarin ada parade budaya di sini.
Oh ya? Budaya apa?
Budaya tradisional Indonesia.
Oh, pasti menarik.
After the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Budaya. Budaya, in English, culture. Parade budaya. Parade budaya. In English, cultural parrot. Budaya tradisional. Budaya tradisional. In English, traditional culture. Konser. Konser. In English, concert. Kemarin ada parade budaya di sini. In English, there was cultural parade here yesterday. Budaya apa? Budaya apa? In English, what culture? Budaya tradisional Indonesia. In English, traditional culture of Indonesia. Pasti menarik. Pasti menarik. In English, it had to be interesting. Dua hari lalu. Dua hari lalu. In English, 2 days ago. Listener, in the conversation between tour guide and Tony, the tour guide told Tony that there was an event at the location yesterday. She said, kemarin ada parade budaya di sini. In English, there was cultural parade here yesterday. When you want to tell someone about an event, you can use the word ada, followed by the name or kind of event. To mention the event happened in the past, you can add adverbs that indicate past time in the sentence, such as tadi or just now, kemarin or yesterday, dua hari lalu or 2 days ago. For example, kemarin ada konser di sini. Kemarin ada konser di sini. Or there was a concert here yesterday. If you want to tell someone that there is a concert, you can say, sekarang sedang ada konser. Sekarang sedang ada konser. If you want to tell someone that there will be an event next time or tomorrow, next week, you can say, besok akan ada konser. Besok akan ada konser. Or, there will be a concert tomorrow. Differences in words that indicate an event in the past. In or will occur can be known from an adverb indicating time, such as kemarin or yesterday, sekarang or now, besok or tomorrow, or from adverbs such as sedang. In a sentence, sekarang sedang ada konser. Akan, in a sentence, besok akan ada konser di sini. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Kemarin ada parade budaya di sini.
Oh ya? Budaya apa?
Budaya tradisional Indonesia.
Oh, pasti menarik.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Aku sedang jatuh cinta, karena rasanya ini berbeda. Oh, apakah ini memang cinta? Selalu berbeda saat menatapnya. Mengapa aku begini? Hilang berani dekat denganmu, ingin ku memilikimu, tapi aku tak tahu bagaimana caranya. Tolong katakan pada dirinya, lagu ini ku tuliskan untuknya. Namanya selalu ku sebut dalam doa, sampai aku mampu ucap maukah denganku. Ku rasa ku sedang jatuh cinta, karena rasanya ini berbeda. Oh, apakah ini memang cinta? Selalu berbeda saat meratapnya. Di sini aku berdiri menanti waktu yang tepat hingga akhirnya ku mampu katakan padamu. Oh, tolong katakan pada dirinya, lagu ini ku tuliskan untuknya. Namanya selalu ku sebut dalam doa, mungkinkah dia tahu cinta yang mau. Oh, oh, tolong katakan pada dirinya, lagu ini ku tuliskan untuknya. Namanya selalu ku sebut dalam doa, sampai aku mampu ucap mau kade.
You've just listened to a song by Budi Doremi titled Tolong or Please. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, let's listen to a song titled Segenggam Harapan in our program Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Today, I present you a Kroncong song entitled Segenggam Harapan or Hope by Toto Salmon. Youth are the hope and future of the Indonesian nation. This is the message of a song entitled Segenggam Harapan, sung by Toto Salmon. Youth symbolize hope and light for the nation. The song also calls on young generation to preserve and maintain Indonesian culture. In the lyrics, the composer also conveyed his prayer for young generations so that they can be persistent in achieving their goals and pursuing their future. Listener, here is the song Segenggam Harapan sung by Toto Salmon. Enjoy the song.
Kau remaja
cipta prasini yang kena abadi. Hanya padamu ku sampaikan segenggam harapan.
Semudah itu kau tulis kembali kisah cinta yang berakhir luka. Hadirmu tak mungkin ku sambut lagi karena ada dia di hatimu. Dulu kau yang pergi meninggalkanku, kini kau kembali tawarkan berjuta mimpi. Pergilah, cintamu bukan untuk padanya. Tak perlu lagi kau ungkit cerita, biar berakhir di sini. Ku relakan kamu dengan dirinya, dengan dirinya. Hadirmu tak mungkin ku sambut lagi karena ada dia di hatimu. Dulu kau yang
listener, thank you so much for joining our program. Don't forget to give us your comment to our email address voi@voinews.id, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. I'm Amanda. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.